Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger, and I'm here with my good friend, Nick Everhart. And this is the first podcast for A Place in the Conversation. And we thought we would take a few minutes and just talk about why a podcast? Why another podcast? and why call it A Place in the Conversation? And so A Place in the Conversation is born out of the idea that everybody deserves their place in the conversation, a place where they can share their story, where they can speak their truth, where they can be heard, where they can be understood, where they can speak and share without being judged, where we can listen to each other, where we can learn from each other, where we can grow, and it's in a space like that community happens, and where we all learn from each other, and where we grow, and the truth is that Nick and I have been creating that space for like the last 7 years, and we've been meeting for coffee and having conversations about all kinds of experiences and all kinds of thoughts and beliefs and ideas. And it's just been a neat space to create. And so as I thought about starting a podcast, I thought, you know, there's nobody that I would rather do this with than Nick. So Nick, why don't you take a moment, introduce yourself, and we'll just talk about the importance of creating safe spaces where people can share their truth and mm-hmm. where we can have safe conversations.
Okay. Well, first, I want to thank you for inviting me to do this. I told my daughter yesterday that I was doing this, and she asked me a lot of questions. And she said, why did he ask you? And I said, well, I'm not sure. And she said, well, it's very flattering. And I think that's true. But I know that you didn't do it just to flatter me. Initially, when we first met, you were the pastor of the church that I was attending. And I remember when you came down for your interview before we had extended an offer to you to come here, and you gave a sermon. I think you talked about the woman at the well. And just the fact that you picked that story and the way you expressed it, I thought that you were very accepting, a non-judgmental person. And that really appealed to me, and we started talking pretty soon after you got here. I guess I was a deacon at the time, and we would go to lunch, and I said some like really outrageous things to you, I believe, and you never blinked an eye. You proved to be very non-judgmental and very accepting of some of my beliefs that are not totally doctrine, and we've had some really good conversations. And I think for me, part of it is that I feel safe talking to you. I feel like I can say almost anything and you will understand or try to understand where I'm coming from. And so we have talked about an awful lot of things. There's probably a theme there, but I'm not quite sure at this moment I can identify what it is. But I think when you were talking about the place in the conversation and talking about the idea of building community and what would come out of that, and one word that you didn't use was that we care about each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to me, however our views differ, what's important is that we still care about each other. So I guess that's what I have in answer to your question at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's important, Nick, isn't it? I mean, the caring like only comes out of conversation, right? I mean, that for me anyway, that's been my experience, that it's in the times of conversation that we learn about each other, we learn each other's experiences, yes. and as we learn about each other, and as we have the opportunity and the space to be able to safely share our experiences, other people begin to care about us. Right. And that's how community is safe community is created. Yes. And you know, you mentioned that story about the woman at the well, and it's a powerful story where Jesus, you know, approaches, you know, the woman who is, she's an outcast in her own community. Because she's sneaking to the well to get water, not at the appointed time when the rest of the community is there, because she's an outcast and she's not welcome, and so she goes to the well at a time when nobody else is there except for Jesus, and Jesus enters into this conversation with her. And it's a scandalous conversation because, you know, he's talking to a woman back in that day that was not appropriate. And they're crossing, you know, ethnic lines, which that's not appropriate. There's so many things that Jesus does that's not appropriate. But what is totally appropriate to the way that he lived and moved and had his being was that it was all about creating a safe place and entering in and allowing somebody to speak their truth. And as Jesus has this conversation, this woman feels safe and shares who she is and begins to question. And the questioning and the conversation and the feeling safe in that space, it just creates this moment that is transformative in her life. And my, you know, my prayer, my hope is that, you know, that we can duplicate that in some way in our individual relationships with people and in the wider community, that we need to find a way to get outside of our little boxes and our echo chambers and begin to have conversations with people that, you know, the stranger at the well that we would, you know, wouldn't normally meet. And that's just important. And that's part of what, you know, as you and I have talked about this podcast, what we plan to do is to bring other people to the table, and to the podcast and allow them to share their stories, so that we can learn from each other. You know, Nick, over the years, so you and I have met for coffee and lunch and all kinds of stuff to have conversations. What about those conversations was important to you? Because I know they're important to me. I every time we get together, I walk away and I know I'm better for having been together, and I'm better for having had the conversations. You know, even when like you say, there are conversations that push me. And they're outside of my box, right? A little bit. But I always walk away saying, well, I'm better for having spent that time. And we keep on coming back together. So for you, what's been valuable? What's been important there?
Well, my first thought is that you said they're valuable to you. Well, obviously, I think they're valuable to me, or I wouldn't keep coming back because you know me pretty well, and I just wouldn't keep doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it just to be nice. Okay. I guess it's because I feel that I can talk to you about things that are important to me, and you listen, and you seem to understand. And I don't know to what extent you agree with many of the things that I say, but it feels like you do, okay? And I don't know a lot of people that I can have that kind of a conversation with. Yeah. And I think part of that is a tribute to you. It's because of just your nature. it's good. And I'm just thinking, though, if our objective in the place of the conversation is to allow people to come together and feel like they can express themselves, we're sort of doing that one-on-one. And I don't necessarily feel that I'm going to grow from that. because I feel like I already open to a lot of different views mm-hmm. and an understanding of why people are where they are. So I guess I'm not quite sure how we're going to change the community at this rate of doing it one-on-one.
Well, yeah, that's a really good point, right? Like, and it's so like it's, you know, you look at the community, you look at a community and how do you bring about change, and you can look at it and say, well, in order for us to bring about change, we've got to go and we have to start at the top, and we've got to change all of these huge systems, and we've got to make everybody start to think differently and work differently and behave differently. And I guess over time, what I've watched happen in my life, and I guess one of the things that I've learned about who I am and how I function, and the way that the Spirit has used me throughout my life and throughout my ministry, is that you can spend a lot of time working at trying to change things at the top, you might not. And it'll bring about change, but there's a lot of things that you can do around the edges, where you can work with smaller groups, you can work with individual people, and it's really about expanding people's viewpoints, expanding the way that people look at things and see things, helping people to experience something, the world just in a little bit of a different kind of a way, and that's gonna happen, I think more one-on-one, two-on-two, three, in smaller groups than it is trying to bring it from the top down, and I guess one of the things that I've learned about myself over the years is that one of the things that I have been able to do, and I've watched again, the Spirit work through time and time again, is to be able to bring the right people around the table and then to start a conversation. And then I just kind of stop talking and just watch what comes out of it. And that really is part of my thinking behind a place in the conversation is like, I want to get the right people, you know, sitting around the microphones, you know, in the case of the podcast, start asking a few questions. And then sit back and be quiet and listen to the conversation and learn and grow. And then as we share that, just see what happens. See what happens from it. And I think there's going to be more transformation, healing, renewal, growth that comes out of that than trying to spend energy bringing about huge systemic change.
Well, I certainly understand what you're saying about starting from the ground up and working in small groups. What do you think the impact is going to be on the people who are listening to the podcast?
Well, that's a really good question. So, like maybe 6 months from now, we can grab a few people who are listening and ask them that question. That would be a fascinating. So, if you're listening. And you would like to be a part of that, reach out to us and we'd love to talk to you and hear what you've got to say. I mean, my hope is, right, that as we have conversations, that they will be willing to engage in conversations with people who are not like them, who don't think like them. That would be my hope. Right. So.
I was listening on NPR yesterday and they were talking to two people who were on a school board, and they had totally opposite points of view. One was very liberal, one was very conservative, and they just argued all the time. And they started going to have coffee together, and then they started having lunch together. And they got to know each other as individuals and as people, and not arguing, just getting to know each other. And it made it a lot easier for them to work together when they saw each other as people with individual aspirations and cares and concerns and fears, which we all have. And when you see people that way, I think you can be more open to understanding, maybe where they're coming from.
Yeah, exactly, right? And see, and I think that captures it, right? I mean, for me, that captures it. And for what, unfortunately, in our world today, what we tend to do is we tend to isolate with inside our own echo chamber, inside those people that think like us, that believe like us. And what we really want to hear is people say, yes, you're right. You know, we want to share a viewpoint. We want to share an idea and have somebody look at us and go, yes, I agree with you. You're right. And that's wonderful to be told that you're right. It's affirming, right? It feels good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yet at the same time, it blocks out so many people in our community that don't think like we do, that don't believe like we do, and they're, you know, to use the language that I'm familiar with, you know, that is comfortable for me, that comes from, you know, my years of being a pastor, these are all people created in the image of God that God loves dearly, right? And so if God loves them, then you know what? I need to love them. And so the first step that towards me loving people better is me being able to have a conversation with them. And the spirit is creating space for us to have conversations. Sometimes we don't, you know, we don't step into those places.
Right.
So Nick, you mentioned a conversation with your daughter.
Okay.
So talk a little bit more about that, because I find that fascinating, right? So
okay.
You know, she was asking, you know, what else did she ask?
Well, so I said, well, tomorrow I'm going to meet with Dan, and we're going to do a blog together. She goes, what? She said, what, you're going to do a blog? She said, that's funny, because I just heard on something I was listening to yesterday, they were talking about blogs, and they said that, well, pretty soon every white man in America who thinks he has something interesting to say is going to have a blog. She said, so what are you guys going to talk about? What's your objective? Who is your audience? What are you going to talk about? Why are you doing this? Why did he ask you to do it? And I couldn't really answer most of those questions. I think I told you, she said, well, it's very flattering. Yeah.
But you know what? As I listen to you, she's got great questions, right? Because I think she's not wrong, right? That everybody who thinks they've got something to say, it's so easy to find a platform, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a blog, whether it's faith, you know, whatever. You can find your platform and get your voice out there. I'm hoping what makes us different is that it's less about what we have to say and what other people have to say.
Right.
That we want to create a platform where other people can come and share their stories. Like, we want to find, it's going to be like this first one. I'm sorry, people, you're listening to Nick and I talk, you know, but our goal is that we're going to bring other people into the conversation. And you and I are just going to facilitate conversations with other people, because we're more interested in what other people have to say and inviting other people into the conversation and broadening the conversation and providing that safe space. And so if what we do is that we are two older white men who provide a space for other people to have conversations where they feel safe and welcome and they can share their truth and we can all learn from each other, like, I would count that as a win and a great investment of the time that you know, that God's given me to walk the face of this earth.
Well, so that reminds me of one of our early conversations. Well, first I say, I don't think I have something interesting to say, but I think I have a lot of interesting questions.
Yeah.
And when you and I first started talking, and I said, well, I have a lot of questions. And you said, well, we were talking about my faith, about my beliefs. And you said, well, I'd rather talk to somebody who's got a lot of questions than somebody who thinks they have all the answers. And so that's really, I guess, what we're about here is asking questions to enable people, to encourage people to tell us, you know, what they care about, what they're worried about, what they're thinking about, and which would ultimately bring us and other people together.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it, right? Now, I think that for me, that's it. And it's, you know, we've all interacted with people who think they have the answer to everything. And that's, boy, they do very little listening and they do a whole lot of talking. And they do a whole lot of talking out of their limited experience. You know, they talk out of their limited experience of whatever their lifespan is and whatever they've experienced. And they're not listening and taking in, most of them, the breadth of experience that everybody else has. So, I mean, so I hope that what we do is, invite the right people to the table and provide a safe space and then get out of the way and just listen and learn from each other.
Yes. We're just so divided today that we often avoid talking to people who differ in their views and beliefs and thinking. And one of the reasons that I stopped going to church here is because I thought that I didn't have a lot in common with the people here, and we didn't share many of the views that are important to me. And that's probably a loss for us and for me and for them as well. But I know that I do have friends who, these are people that I know really well and I've known for years, and I know a lot about them. And politically, their views are totally different than mine. And yet, we're still friends. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, we talk about politics. And I find that there's things that we do have in common, even there. And I can understand maybe why they think differently than I do. And so it is possible.
It is, isn't it? It's very, very possible. And I think that's the, I think one of the most damaging things that our society has been teaching us, right? Whether intentionally, consciously, subconsciously, is that it's impossible to talk to people who are different than you and that who come from a different experience than you. And, you know, it is possible. And, you know, I've had experience after experience after experience in my life where I've been put in places where I have experienced life from the perspective of somebody that is just so totally different than me. And as I have begun to just even on the most shallow, most basic level, begun to understand what they have experienced in life, all of a sudden, I learn. Mm-hmm. I learn, and all of a sudden, I begin to see the world through their eyes. And I might not accept, and I might not agree, and I might not hold the same perspective that they have on life, but at least I can understand how they ended up where they ended up. You know, I can see how through the experiences that you've had, you know, this is how you view the world. And the only way that that happens is through conversation. You know, some of it was intentional. You know, I placed myself in those situations. Some of it was purely by accident. I happened to be somewhere and I ended up in a relationship with somebody. And as we grew to know each other better, they felt more comfortable sharing their life with me. And I'm the better for it. But always I've walked away the richer for it. But it always starts with conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking that there's some maybe genetic and social and anthropological reasons why we tend to gather together and enjoy and feel comfortable with people who are like ourselves. It's sort of a tribal thing. It even goes back to a kinship thing. Sort of the people that we care about the most are the people that we're closest to. And I think you have to make a conscious effort to move outside of that zone, because today, I mean, our tribe is much bigger than it was back in thousands of years ago. I mean, our tribe really is the human race. Yeah. It's a global tribe, and we have to really overcome these sort of selfish instincts that we have to just look out for ourselves and the people that we're closest to.
Yeah, I think that's right, right? And I think you're 100% right on that. I share that idea. And it's just, it'll be fascinating to see if a place in the conversation, you know, if this little blog and some of the other work that we do, you know, can be a piece and a part of helping broaden the conversation and helping us see the world just in a little bit of a different kind of way. So
you have to forgive me for sort of going down a sidetrack there on this social, anthropological, genetic thing, but that's sort of what I tend to do. And the next thing I was going to start talking about was Dawkins and the selfish gene, okay? Because I'm a biologist by training and these kinds of things, trying to understand things on a physical, biological, chemical basis is sort of what drives me. Yeah. And so,
well, Nick, no forgiveness. That's part of what makes our conversation so rich, is that we, you know, our experiences, we come at the world from different, we look at the world through different lenses.
Yes, we do.
And since, you know, as a biologist, as you look at the world, and I'm as a pastor, and you know, I look at the world through a different lens, you know, and as we share, I'm richer because of that. And it's just, it's a snapshot of what I hope that we accomplish here. Right. And so you're going to have to find a few biologist friends, who want to sit down and have a conversation about all of that, because I think it'd be utterly fascinating. And, I would be out of my depth. And I could just sit for a while and listen to you guys talk. And every now and then I might ask you a question, but that's kind of what I'm hoping we'll do.
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody, listen, thanks for joining us for this, this first, edition of A Place in the Conversation. And you can look forward to future conversations that will be more than just Nick and myself. And we'll be inviting people to be a part of the conversation, to gather around the table. And if you're listening and you want to volunteer to be a part of the conversation, we would love to have you. You know, our table is always open, and you know, there'll be a link below where you can get a hold of us and let us know that you want to sit down and have a conversation with us. And I'm going to tell you personally, anytime that you get to spend time with Nick, you're gonna be blessed. So thank you for joining us, and till next time, hope that you experience the fullness and the depth of the Spirit of God alive and well and at work in your world.
Amen.